Hi there, I'm Ferial Hafiji of the Daily Maverick, and I am so excited to be in our Power Chat with Mondli Makanya, who's the newly minted editor-at-large of the Daily Maverick, where he brings his column called The Lowly Newspaper Man. You'll recognize that name every weekend. We hope that you're enjoying reading it. It's wonderful to be with you, Mondli.
No, great to be with you, Ferial. Reunited again.
Reunited. It's really good. Yeah. So I'll tell you what I'm working on right now, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. You know, now I am mostly, again, a Joburg community reporter. I cover the city, and that's most of my work now. Part of that work has been following all the campaigns which are out of the blocks already. And obviously the longest standing one is the 9-month-old campaign of Helen Ziller, who's the DA mayoral candidate here. Ms. Ziller feels that, and her team feel that they, at this point of the campaign, could almost get to an overall majority. Their goal before this was to be the largest party. They now believe that they can get an overall majority. What's your gut instinct saying about the campaign, and do you think that's a possibility at all?
Well, as you say, Ferial, they were the first of the starting blocks, and they didn't just launch, they didn't have a soft launch. It was a razzmatazz occasion in Soweto, and they came with a big gun. So they've definitely got the lead on this. And you can actually feel it in the air. I mean, the polls do say so as well, that they're doing very well. I'm not sure about the overall majority, but I'll come to that now. But there's a sense in the air that people who would never have thought of voting in that direction, especially for her, I think of the DA leaders, she's probably the most unpalatable among a constituency that was not a natural DA constituency. So, but even those people are feeling that it's not about her, it's about the need for change. It's about the need for delivery. But I think it would be pushing it to start to think that my gut says to think they can get an overall majority. I think right now, because they've got the most visibility, it might just be the case that they get a feel that they've got the most recognizability of all the campaigns. They are answering all the questions that people want, and they are making all the noises that people want. But you know what? The campaign has not kicked off, and people will, once the people like Action SA, who's probably kind of among the leading contenders, their mayors among the leading contenders, once organizations like EFF and the ANC start to become visible, then it will shrink the visibility space and it becomes a contest. So maybe their internal polls might be telling them that for now, but it's a blip, I would say.
That's really interesting. So I also just, before we get to the national DA question, the ANC is considering putting up the Reverend Frank Chikane or David Makura or Chichi Maponya, or Loisa Masuku may win it because she is the regional secretary, although I think at national level they are looking for a heavy-hitting candidate. What's your view? They're likely to make it known, I've heard, this week or next week. Where do you think the ANC is going to go on this? I mean, this is its heartland. Johannesburg is its heartland.
Yeah. You know, there was a time when you'd say the ANC is going to bring out the heavyweights, and you think, okay, so who are the heavyweights? And there were heavyweights. If you bring in somebody from national, it's a cabinet minister, and you'd say, it's because we're taking local government seriously, that's why we're deploying this person to this level. And the first time they did that, it was actually, it sent a very strong message. Remember, it was in the city of Tshwane. Basically, because the ANC was sending a message that this level of government is very, very important. And they've done that. So now in 2026, but as I say, back then you could speak of something called ANC heavyweight. Now, if you and I, we've been doing politics forever. If we were to count on our hands, like what counts as an ANC heavyweight? What counts is somebody who is not, who can appeal very widely. I think you'd be hard put to find people like those, and people would be willing as well to put themselves up for that. I think that going for the Reverend Frank Chikane is an act of desperation. With all due respect, I think he's been doing great work on the Palestine issue. He was at the SACC, kind of like the activism that they did at the SACC around the Zuma matter, the state capture. I think that was very important. But if you are asking the residents of Johannesburg that this is the person who can rescue your city, first of all, kind of like, again, recognizability. He is not an immediately recognizable person among the broad swath of Joburg residents and Joburg society. It's among the politically conscious that he actually has. Chichi Maponya.
What about Chichi Maponya?
Yeah, again, I mean, like, you are plucking somebody out of obscurity, someone who does not have politics. Somebody, you remember, in positions such as those, you actually have to, you're not only managing the city, you're also managing the party. And she won't be able to, she does not have a party pedigree. First of all, so she'd be on a hiding to nothing. She'd be walking into a huge trap. I wouldn't mind her myself, to be honest with you. I think she's she's got a proven record in the business sector, and she's got respect in the business sector. So I think that if you were to think left field and thinking, okay, we're not thinking kind of like your conventional party member, she would be the person who I would think of. I mean, like, but I don't think that she would be an adequate person. I mean, she would not be the correct person within the ANC dynamics. There she would be undermined left, right, and center by people in the ANC. So it's that weight again. And then Loyiso Masuku, again, ANC members know her. Move beyond the ANC, there's very little recognition of her. There was a time when they were also floating the name of Mbazi Mashiloa.
I think he said no, thank you. No, he's good.
Straight up. I think the question that he asked them was like, what do you want me to do? And they said, we want you to rescue the ANC. And he said, no, I'm not going to want to rescue the ANC. If you are asking me to come and help rescue Johannesburg, I could do that. But that conversation did not get off the ground. So there's very little. And then, there was that very long shot one of thinking of trying to get Kenny Fischer, the former city manager of Johannesburg. That man runs the biggest, one of the biggest corporations on this continent.
And he seems to be loving his new job.
He's loving it. Poaching from his former employer and other big banks. Why on earth would he want to set himself up to be answerable to the Joburg region of the ANC and have to be called in for meetings to account to them? So, that was NASA. Most of them are just, all that it shows is how the party has degraded, how the ANC has gone basically from an organization that had stars, if one can use that word, to basically trying desperately either to reach into the past or to find people from outside. It has not grown that timber. And it is really sad because
I find it deeply sad. You know, I was in Soweto last week for the 50th anniversary, completing the march, and I really do feel that as the ANC reaches into its decline, there's a decline of the idea of progressive politics, which you touched on in your column about the DA, a young leader, Jordan Hill Lewis. And I think what I'm discerning in our country is the growth of conservatism and what you used to call like own affairs. So there are parties who think that the constitution preamble should be changed from we the people of South Africa, signal of unity, oneness, to we the peoples of South Africa, that we are a federation of difference rather than a union of sameness. And that I do find very sad, that as the ANC declines, so does a set of values. You haven't been that impressed with the first 2 months of Jordan Hill Lewis's tenure.
No, look, he's somebody that I thought was going to bring a lot of freshness. And there's no question about it. He was the right man for the right time. At this particular time, the DA definitely needed a refresh. And I mean, like, even if you just disregard race altogether, I think of this, to use an NC term, of the cadership of DA leaders right now, he is the most impressive. He speaks clearly. He's personable. He's approachable. He doesn't mind hitting the ground, going to communities. He has been a good mayor of Cape Town. Yes, there will be detractors who will say Khayelitsha this and Langa that and Langa that. But he's actually been good for the townships of Cape Town. And there's a long gap to fill. I mean, like, and it's the situation in Cape Town is not different from the situation in any big metro, any big town in South Africa in terms of the disparities. So that argument is just very tired. But I do think that he was the right guy for the moment. But what I have found disappointing in him is he's decided to operate within the lager. Starting with the appointment of a democratic election of the parliamentary leadership, you go for a parliamentary leader whose complexion is the same as the party leader. And the chief whip is the same complexion as the party leader.
Do you think he should have used those two very visible appointments to show something else? He went for George Mikolaikis and for Glynis Breytenbach in those two roles.
No, exactly. Yes, and I think that would have been a sign that, okay, the top leadership may still, I mean, the national leadership may still, I mean, I'm there, I look like this. And the most front-facing other positions are parliamentary leader and the chief whip, and you go for white leadership. Nothing against white leadership, but optics do matter. And if you say you are a non-racial, diverse party, and the DA boasts about having the most diverse voter base and support base in South Africa, but like, if the face you are giving is this face. And then the second opportunity that he gets is what the reshuffle that is proposed to President Cyril Ramaphosa.
And it's again, quite a broad reshuffle, right? All the members.
Mm. And the best foot forward that you've put is to go for white males. And those are the people that you want to put into those positions. And yes, I can understand with Willy Oldkamp that maybe it's about appeasing the farming community. He's of that community. And after that disaster, John Steenhuisen, you needed somebody who would be able to go and talk to those right-wing guys, those for the farming community, and bring them back inside. That you can be excused for. The much broader reshuffle, it's problematic, I think. You could have actually used that opportunity to, again, promote some of the people who are in your parliamentary caucus. And particularly, I'm talking now, particularly African leadership in the parliamentary caucus and also the legislatures, and bring them in and say, this is the face of the DA. It is this diverse face.
Maybe that's just not the DA, Mwandli. So when I was standing at the Hector Peterson Memorial and different parties were bringing the wreaths in, it was really striking that first there was Musi Maimane, Build One South Africa, then followed by RISE, represented by Mageshule Gana and a few of the other leaders. They're all African people. And then the third party, which came along there, so it was RISE, it was BOSA, and then Action SA. Does black politics lie outside the DA and outside the ANC now?
You know what? The sad part, I mean, like the unfortunate part about the DA was that it was making inroads. And like it was, I mean, like to use their own term, they were growing their own timber in all the communities. And I think they got a bit of a skrik around the time of Musi Maimane, and obviously prior to that, there was the Lindiwe Mazibuko. And they had actually found very forceful young black leaders who were their own people. And I think that the party got a shock to its system and couldn't quite deal with that. And they thought, okay, let's go back to form. But that's very, very short-sighted. Because since then, all you've seen, obviously, and I think the most visible leader of the African leader within the DA happens to be Sibiwe Forube. And another person who I thought that they would be pushing a lot more is Karabo Kakao. Solly is there. I mean, like, and he is also an impressive person, but he's not loud. He's not a leader who is in your face. Sibiwe Forube is, she's just so present. You cannot miss her. And whereas Solly, as impressive technically as he is, I don't think he's someone who can...
There's two Sollys. There's Deputy Leader Solly Msimanga, and then there's Solly Malatsi, the Communications Minister.
Yes, well, I'm talking about Solly Malatsi.
I thought
Malatsi.
The two of them are, they're quite big figures and politicians together. Yeah. Huh?
The Gauteng Solly is a bigger figure, and he's a bruiser. And no relation to the incident that happened some
yeah,
years
he's a
ago.
Bruiser.
But definitely, Solly Msimanga, he is a leader. The other Solly, he enjoys the work that he does. I don't think that he wants to run out front. He's okay. I mean, like, again, it's not like he's a retreating person. He's just like, he wants to work and he's prepared to, and is competent. But I would expect people like those to be, again, I keep using the word visible. I mean, like, you'd expect those faces to be very visible in a DA that's trying to reach a much broader community.
So Jordan E. Lewis has set himself the goal over 5 years, by 2029, for the DA to be the largest party in South Africa. We're firmly in the era of coalitions, so largest means that you're big enough to be able to determine how the coalition government looks. Do you think at this pace that he's going to be successful?
When you say biggest party in South Africa, I think because of where we are now, I think you're talking between 25 and 30%.
Yes.
And that's where generally in coalition countries, that's where you play. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they're currently at 21-22%,
yeah.
I think.
And right? If they can get to 25%, they're going to have to do a lot more work in reaching out to a broader South Africa. And especially, I mean, like, you spoke earlier on, Cyril, about the own affairs, the retreat to ethnic enclaves. And you've had Gayton McKenzie doing exactly that. And that's taken away quite a chunk of the so-called colored vote from the DA. And he's basically pushing to eat very deeply into the DA space. Are you looking after that constituency adequately as well, and to prevent them from being drawn into that nationalistic lager? That basically, some of which is answering to the fear factor, the exclusion factor that Gayton McKenzie is playing on.
I wonder, I want to ask you two questions. So I was coming from Nuclear Cemetery where my dad's buried on Father's Day, and as coming through Bosmont Nuclear Westbury, this is areas where the Patriotic Alliance won big time in 2021. I have to tell you, not a thing has changed. Everything is worse in the past 5 years. I wonder if people vote on identity or on service, and it's something I do want to go test in the next few years.
That is so interesting. And basically, and the PA's pitch at that point was, they don't look after you. We're going to come and look after you better.
There is no looking after happened.
Yeah. But I think that, I mean, like, that the DA has to go and look within itself and say, in order for us to reach that goal that that Jordan Hill Lewis has set for the party, what do we need to do in order to break out of this lager? Or are we just so afraid of offending the conservative elements in this party that we, in our constituency, that we actually just gonna stay here? You know, there's an argument that has been made by some of the party, not publicly, obviously, for the DA to be seen as a shield by white people is important for the democracy, because it allows, it's almost a valve for them to air whatever fears and grievances they've got in this place where they're overwhelmed by a majority. Perhaps that might be what's driving them staying within that, yeah, being happy at as being at 20%.
The challenge is different. You know, I do want to, as a final question, head over to your neck of the woods, Itakwini or Durban.
The sovereign kingdom.
The sovereign kingdom, where everything is suggesting that despite the drama, MK is going to clean up there. Is that something you see happening? And is it part of the same pattern, do you think?
Yeah. No, big, big time. And, you know, the interesting thing about KZN in particular, so I mean, like you mentioned Tegwini, but I mean, like you can say the same thing about Msunduzi, and you can say the same thing about some other kind of like mid-level towns.
So all that, the way up the coast. Huh?
Yeah,
all
that where that had gone ANC, that the ANC had taken away from the IFP. I mean, like those ones, I think MK is definitely going to sweep there. But most significantly, it is going to be Durban, which is obviously the commercial capital of the province, but also the pivotal city in this country. And there has been talk of internal ANC polling again. I mean, it's nothing that they've made public. Being anywhere between 10% and 12%, and even at some points falling beneath 10%. Now that would be huge.
And MK going to what? Yeah.
No, well, apparently MK would be in the 30s, and I mean like 30s to the 40s, because remember the DA is also very strong there. The IFP has a good presence there, so the pie would be shared.
It'll replicate the 2024 pattern.
Basically, yes. Yeah, the city of Itakwini has just recovered from the disastrous management by Zandile Gumede, where there was corruption. It was like they were having a festival of corruption there, and recovered from the totally incompetent mayorship of Kaunda, Kolisi Kaunda. And now, actually, the ANC has a good mayor. And you'd actually,
mayor.
The ANC, the city has a good mayor.
The IFP and, mayor.
No, he's an ANC mayor.
He's an ANC mayor.
Yes, I mean, like, yeah, he's one
instead
of those. He was one of those heavyweights that called him back from parliament and said, go and fix this thing. And he was one of the high-flying MPs and the parliamentary finance committee. So he's actually somebody who's competent. And you would have wanted him to continue the trajectory beyond 2026. I mean, because Itakwini needs that. Now you are going to be putting somebody from
So who would be in the mayoral candidate? They haven't named them, and they fire people almost every day. So
no, that's the thing. I mean, like
no clarity.
I mean, the leadership's changed so rapidly. I would not. But I think people would be voting for the party and Ubaba rather than a mayoral candidate. I don't think that.
Is Ubaba, that is Jacob Zuma, is he prevented from standing as mayor? I know he can't take a national position again. Can he become a premier or a mayor? I don't think so.
You can't hold public office. With his record. So, and they claim he's as fit as a fiddle, but as you saw the other day, him falling on stage. Yeah, so he's not of great help. But they will. MKP will win resoundingly in Durban, in Itakwini and Msunduzi, despite the chaos. And that's the strangest thing. I mean, like, and it's about his appeal, but it's also about the absolute cutthroatness with the ANC. I remember, I mean, as you said, I mean, like, that is my hometown. And when I would go to Durban, I'm talking to people during when the ANC was still in charge of the province and the city, when it was still a dominant party, people had enough, and there was a migration towards the EFF, but it wasn't as rapid.
Tumult, rapid.
And then then these guys came in. Now this is a party that ANC members can identify with. They, because they are ANC members, what they will get after voting will be totally different but from what they had hoped, because they will have voted for something that's so much worse, the ANC, that they were hateful of. And the same
is that for me, that's the story of the 2024 election.
I know you said that was a final one, but here's a worry that I have.
Please.
And that these huge developments happening on the North Coast, I mean, like that place is just booming, just outside of Tengini. Club Med and there are others that are coming up, and because people have recognized that, I mean, like the West Coast, it's saturated and it's...
So the North Coast is booming, right?
The North Coast is booming and it can boom. That's the thing. If the government of provincial unity can hold, the potents are so great for that province. If the cities, the main cities do not fall, particularly at Tegwini, do not fall into the wrong hands. And look, maybe the people that they'll put in place will be good people. Let's not prejudge. Maybe MKP will get 10 people who will not want to steal. Let's hope.
I know a few CEOs who are MK people who may relish the being a mayor there.
So that's the thing. Let's South Africa's next growth point, and it would be sad for it to get lost to their own politics.
Thank you. It was so lovely to chat to you, my friend.
No, it was wonderful.
I look forward to catching up when I come back from holidays.